For a few moments, we want to address the subject, securing our share. I would like to say securing our share in freedom. And I hope you will understand exactly what I mean when I have finished, well, before I have finished, securing our share in freedom. We have freedom here in the United States of America like we don't have anywhere else that I know of. Especially in Muslim land, there's not the freedom that we have here that gives opportunity for anyone who wants to assert themselves and respect the life and interests of others to progress. There's the freedom in this country to make great progress if you just are willing to plan your life so that your life does not deny others their life. We know we have what writers, American Western writers, call peculiar freedom. We had a peculiar system of slavery that took us from our past life as African people and severed that relationship with Africa so thoroughly that it doesn't make any practical sense, really, for any of us to try to continue that history in America. So it has done a terrible thing to us, certainly, by cutting us off from our past life. But God knows best, and God does not permit any injustice without Him coming to the rescue of the victim and giving them, in place of what they lost, that is equal in value, and most of the time that is greater in value. So if we will accept that God Almighty has been aware of our plight, of our bad circumstances, and our struggle to survive and achieve for our soul and our spirit, if we will accept that God has been aware of all of that, and that God has been on the side of the good ones among us, then you should accept then that the black experience, and I'm not talking about just simply using the name or wearing the name black, the black experience that we all share, an experience pride in our humanity, dignity, and respect for our life that God created, etc. And the efforts made by individuals to bring us into a collective mind for the betterment of the whole race or for the whole people, those of the past, like Frederick Douglass, statesman, who left his influence, his imprint on our history and on our lives. But like many others, even some before him, who were industrial-minded, I won't list them all. I won't list them, take too much time. Like Booker T. Washington, who wanted to retrain the mind of African-American people by getting students and carrying them through special drills and giving them an environment of their own where the buildings, the brick buildings, big ones too, that house education, that house the school, the equipment, the teachers, the students, the programs, etc., were built by the students themselves with grown-ups directing them and supervising them. Even the bricks were made by them. The bricks were made by them. Then the buildings were made by them. I have been there, and it's so inspiring to hear them tell the visitor of the history. We've had him, we've had Du Bois, an intellectual, an educator. We've had him inspired with his words, the race will prosper or progress in the measure that we are willing to teach our children to think. The words of W.E.B. Du Bois. And we've had many others. Then we've had the naturalists, those who appealed to African Americans that never thought that we would ever be dealt fairly by white people in this part of the world. Those who just had given up on hope that we could ever be comfortable in a white man's world and wanted a black nation of their own. Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and others. If we can believe that that God was always with us and that it was His will to give us something for our loss or for our losses that would be of equal value or better, that He was with Nat Turner, He was with the white man, they call the wild man, John Brown, that He was with Christopher Columbus, that He was with Booker T. Washington, and with all of those I have named, that He was with Mr. Farrar, called Farrar Muhammad, or W. Farrar Muhammad, or W. D. Farrar, that He was with the teacher of my father, that He was with my father, that He was with Malcolm X, who helped my father. You can believe that He was with the Nation of Islam. You can believe that He is with W. D. Muhammad and all those who support Him. Then you're in a good situation to hear the rest of what I'm going to say. Yes. God says to us in the Quran to seek with what He has made available to us. That means your good nature, your first of all, your good human nature. God created the human nature. The human nature has possibilities greater than any other nature and any other thing God created. No animal He created has our possibilities for freedom and progress, for freedom and comfort, for freedom and a prosperous life, for dignity among creatures. He created no other creature like He created us, humans. Not even the angels were given the dignity or the honor to utilize God's creation and contribute from their own being that complements God's creation. Only man was given that. The thinking mind, man, male and female, only we were given that. So we have been given the measure of freedom above all creatures. And we have been given the freedom to create, whereas he did not give that to other creatures except in very small measure that we hardly notice, to give them any credit for being creators. God is the creator of this world and us and everything. All possibilities are within his own work of creating the world and us. There are no possibilities for anything except in the world that God created with his help, with his spirit working with us. There is no other possibilities for anything. We couldn't speak had not God made us to speak. We wouldn't have languages. We wouldn't have a world giving us science had not God made the world to give us science, or these sciences, and made our brain to engage the world so that the world would communicate to our brains, or to our minds, these sciences. God says, see, by the means I have availed you or made available to you, the afterlife. Actually, the word simply means the latter, the end. El-Akhirah is not saying paradise. It's not saying heaven. It's simply saying the latter, or the end. Some will translate it the destination or the destiny. So God then has willed or intended for his creation, human creation, when he created them, a definite conclusion, a definite end, a definite goal for the life of the whole people. For the life of the whole people. This end is not for any one nation that we are talking about. This end is not for any one race. No. This end is not for any one religion. No, it's not. The day of conclusion is called Yom Din. It's not called Yom Islam. It's called Yom Din. Why? Because God has, as he said, if I had wanted you to be one community, I would have made you so. God says it was in his power, as we know, we believe as people in me believing in God. That it's within God's power. If he had willed it, if he had wanted it that way, he could have made it so that we would not think in any way other than he wanted us, created us to think, and he could have created us to think only Islam. And we would not have been Jews and Buddhists and Hindus and Christians and others. But he said, he made us this way. And he tells us now, vie with one another. Struggle and compete with one another. And all that is good. That's what God said. So he created us different so that we would engage each other in a competition for all that is good. We're living in a time now that I call the day of religion. Yom Din does not only mean day of judgment. In fact, Din means death. So judgment is implied. But Din is religion. Dini al-Islam. I just said my religion in Arabic. Any Arab that speaks Arabic understood what I said. Although I'm sure you got some friends from the immigrant community who got something, they're working against us to undermine my credit and hope that you will follow them in their way and forget about what I'm telling you. And just remember that I called you to the Quran and the Sunnah, and that's all. Stop there. And then they take over from there and give you the Quran and the Sunnah. Say, oh, he just, his whole life, his whole mission was just to bring you to us. Give you the Quran and the Sunnah. Now you've got everything from him. He cannot give you anymore. Now you come to us. You are our fruit. Brother, do you know what FY means? Fruit of Islam? You're fruit of Islam. Islamic wealth. You are all through. Come on, brother. We will help you now. And teach you and educate you. Yeah. So they're waiting, okay? They want sheep that are not theirs. Get your own sheep. These sheep are in America. They're ours. Yes. All right. So we have to realize what God has created us for. That God has created us for great responsibility, and God is going to give us in the place of our loss that is of equal value and greater. And greater. And we have to be prepared to do exactly what God is asking us to do. Get our share. He says, use what I have made available to you to get the hereafter, to get the ladder of the destiny, of the end that I have planned for you. But don't forget your share of the material world. Do not forget your share of the material world. Now God, when he says, he's speaking to us as one individual. Who was he saying this to? He was saying this to a wealthy man. The wealthy man who had great wealth, but this wealthy man was not judged by those that he rose up upon. He rose up upon the poor and the weak. He got rich upon them. And in his wealth was a share for them, if he's just. So God is reminding this individual, that in your wealth is a share that belongs to the poor, that belongs to others, that you have rose, that you have risen up upon, that you have used to get up and to get wealth by. That you have, by whom you have used to get wealth. So God is reminding him. So God is speaking to him as an individual. But is that the end of the explanation or the tafsir or the commentary on that? No! No, indeed, it's just the beginning of it. The same figure is mentioned in the Bible. The rich man is questioned, and he asks, How can I be saved? Or how can I be accepted? And the answer was, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. That's the answer in the Bible. And he said, how can I return to my mother's womb? And the answer was given again, nevertheless, you must be born again. That was the answer given to him. So the Quran addressed the same thing, the same rich man. And the Quran addressed him, reminding him how he can be reborn again. How can he be reborn again? Recognize that the poor that you have built your wealth on at their expense too have a share in your wealth. So have a charitable heart. Be generous and remember those that you are indebted to for your own wealth. That's how you can be born again. Now, but God speaks to that person in the singular and does not give him any name in the Quran. Oh yes, he does have an identity in the Quran. He does have an identity. But when God speaks to him and says, you, cat means you, speaking directly to one person. God is speaking to all people like him, to all rich people like him. But God is also speaking to the poor. See how powerful God's communication is? When God is speaking to him, he's also speaking to the poor. He's using that rich man to tell the poor, you have a share of the material world that is yours. I made the material world not only for these rich people. I made this world for all of you. Now, if you want to let the rich go ahead of you and use you and rise up upon your back, upon their putting you down, well, that's what they do when they don't inform you that you have this kind of great potential and great power in your own self. That God created you just like he created every rich man with the same inherent qualities, with the same inherent potential for great things, for great work. So God is awakening the poor and the ignorant. At the same time, he's rebuking or addressing the problem of the rich man by saying, yes, rich man, in my eyes, I created you a human. And in my presence, you have a right to your share. But that makes the rich man wonder now. God says my share. Now, when God says my share, does my share still stand? That I said was my share? No. So like mama, you know, in the home, I know you have good mamas like I have. And mama sometimes says, you get hungry, you run in off the street, you run to the table, you start grabbing food. She said, get only your share. Right? Your other brothers didn't eat, or the rest of the family didn't eat. Get only your share. Sometimes you have to check mom, that this goes overboard, you know? Well, that's what God is doing for the rich man. He's checking him because he's going overboard. So God says, you're entitled to your share. Don't forget your share. It's to say to the rich man, yes, you're entitled to your share too. You're entitled to your share of wealth. So a rich man, a free person in the society or in the world, in God's presence, you have the freedom to amass great wealth. If you have the power and ability and skills or whatever, resources, to become a billionaire, become a billionaire. Become a trillionaire. But don't forget your share. Your share is not the trillion or the trillion. Your share is a part of that. Those that you view in the process of getting that being, they have shares too in it. God created all of us. He created all of us to have part of the world, a share in the world that he made. This is what God is saying. So don't forget your share. But God is speaking through him, as I said before, to every one of us. And God does not want to speak to us as a community, not when it comes to us being aware of what we have from God individually. So God is speaking to us individually. Cat means individually. Kum, we say assalamu alaikum, that means you all of you. If I say assalamu alaikum, it would be very improper for me to come in here and greet you assalamu alaikum. Who is the cat I'm speaking to? Where is the individual I'm speaking to? Kum means all of you. Cat means just one of you. So God is saying that I have created every human individual for honor, excellence, dignity, and great works. Some will develop their resources or their talents, some won't. Some will be awakened, some will not. Some will be held down and confused, and their minds will be overcome by the deceits of those that want to exploit their resources and keep them as a company of workers or a company of slaves or a nation of consumers. But I will not tolerate that. I'm a just God. I will awaken in them an awareness of their great worth, their equal dignity with all nations, and they will begin to rise. And one day, I, on their side, will bring them into great, great wealth and great prosperity. That's God's will for us. That's why I'm here. God knows it. That's why I'm with you. I'm not with you just to teach you how to pray. No, indeed. If you don't want to pray, you can't be with me, that's for sure. Because I know my whole life owes itself to God. To God's blessings and mercy and forgiveness and favor on us, my whole life, and yours too. I know that. So certainly, I know the importance of prayer. But what did Muhammad say, peace be upon him? Prayers and peace be upon that wonderful, perfect soul. What did he say? Most generous human being ever walked the land, the earth. What did he say? He said, one learned person is harder on the Satan devil than 1,000 pious worshipers. So he didn't give us to give credit to people who want to pray and fast and do all the rituals unless they are also making a contribution to the improvement of the society, educating the members of the society, putting the society in a position where they can be free and productive, free and more productive. Those are the ones that he gave the great credit to. And again, he said, referring to the same value, or to the same balance that we should keep, pray and work, have faith and work, have faith and work. He said, the ink of the scholar is more precious than the blood of the martyr. The ink of the scholar is more precious than the blood of the martyr. Meaning that one who will give of his mind, give the blood of his mind, give the blood of his knowledge to the people so they become better educated and thereby become a better and more productive society. That one's gift to God is more valuable or more precious than the gift of one who just sacrificed himself and spilled his physical blood, died for his people. That's what Muhammad said. And he's our leader. If he's not, then you're in the wrong religion. You're not in the right religion. You're in the wrong religion. And you're certainly in the wrong country. With me here. I got some other friends here too who say he tell you the same. If Muhammad is not your leader, prayers and peace be on him, you're in the wrong company. Okay. So, getting our values right, correct, and accepting and knowing that God didn't create us to have spirit and no body. God created us to have spirit and flesh, spirit and a body. Again, addressing this balance, Muhammad says, to marry is my tradition. So those who don't marry are not of the Prophet's tradition, not of Muhammad's tradition. That's another tradition. Buddhism or something, monks for monks, or Catholicism or something for priests, they don't marry. But to be of Muhammad's sunnah, of Muhammad's tradition, you have to believe in getting married. This is the balance. And the way the community of Muhammad is called in the Quran also, Ummatul Wusta, the midway community. It doesn't go to the extreme that leads us to materialism or to think materialism. And it doesn't go to the extreme to lead us to spiritualism that will deny us our freedom and performance that God intends for us to have in a material existence or in a material world. The world is laughing at us. Don't you know that, brothers and sisters? When the world accepts that we call ourselves spooks and put Soul Train on television, blowing steam, Soul, S-O-U-L, Train. Soul Train, a train of soul? That's a spook train. And they have wise, learned minds among us. One of them wrote, Spook Who Sat by the Door. Spook Who Sat by the Door. We have had enlightened ones among us trying to wake us up. You a spook. You don't have your social life constructed, built up. You don't have your family life built up. We're not talking about family relations. We're not talking about blood relations when I say family life build up. We're talking about supported, family life supported by jobs, by industry, by wealth, by investment in community. That's how you make family strong. So they have been trying to awaken us. I got to keep watching here. Time is running out on me. And it's time that we realize that we are short of reaching our destination. In spite of Oprah Winfrey, Bill Cosby, and many other now very successful in the corporate world,